Amen. You may be seated. So I know that many of the children that are here are full of sugar, so I promise that my word this morning will not be too long. We're going to hear now John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Tammy is going to share that for us this morning. So I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw that the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then another disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for they as yet did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in our prayer of preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to share just a few thoughts with you on this idea of the resurrection and how Jesus alive has an impact on our lives. A few years ago, the impossible happened. A woman who was in a car crash on Christmas Day 1987, she was hit by a drunk driver, and the accident was so bad, she was paralyzed from the waist down. Now, this woman was a person of strong faith. She believed, despite what doctors told her, that a miracle would take place, that she would one day be able to walk again. For years, she believed. She would go to healing services. People would pray for her. They'd even pull her up out of the wheelchair, encouraging her to believe. Finally, after 10 years, though, she began to despair. She was not healed, and her faith didn't seem to make a difference. So she started avoiding those kinds of services. She started to doubt. But one evening, she was at church. She says if she knew it was going to turn into a healing service, she never would have gone. But the pastor called her and her husband forward and began to pray for her. As he prayed, she said for the first time in 22 years, she felt a sensation in her legs. She could feel her husband and the pastor laying hands on her legs while they were praying for her. With her permission, they helped her out of her wheelchair, and she took a few steps. Now, she knew from conversations with paraplegics that sometimes paralyzed people can almost walk with their hips. So she tried to bend her knees, and she could. She wheeled in paralyzed, but by the end of the night, she was walking. The people cheered and celebrated. The impossible had happened. God had provided a miracle. Now, people will think different things about a story like this. I like to tell it because I personally know this woman. I went to church with her when I was a teen. Despite that, some will say her healing is not possible. Science tells us it's not possible. What does science say about spinal and brainstem injuries? It tells us spines don't regenerate. Brainstems don't heal themselves, at least not without some as of yet untested drugs that block efferent molecules. But when the impossible does happen, science has to take a back seat because it can only take us so far. We are still discovering things, still working to understand things. No matter how far we get, there will always be more. And science can only explain what it knows, not what lies beyond it. We call what lays beyond it the supernatural. It's where miracles happen. It's funny, though, how one experience can change our whole perspective. Alexis Carrel was a Nobel Prize winner and a steadfast agnostic. He happened to be on a train with a woman dying from tuberculosis. The train was headed to Lourdes in France, where the water was known for its ability to heal people. When the dying passenger was brought to the spring, Dr. Carrel saw firsthand her distended belly become soft as the water was poured onto it. Did he convert and become a believer in miracles? Well, not immediately. It took years, but eventually this agnostic rationalist confessed his faith. Miracles can change us. And just because you haven't seen one personally doesn't mean they can't happen. I'm a big believer in science. I like statistics. I like data. I'd like to believe that I'm a rationalist fit for the 21st century and that my actions are in keeping with what we know of science and medicine. See your doctor. Listen to their advice. Use math and science to build safer buildings and protect us from natural disasters. Study sociology and psychology to make better governments and improve the world. But I also see how easily all of that knowledge falls short. I see how the biggest and most important things in this world are not explained by science. Do you love your neighbor? That is not a rational way to live with the people around you. Do you love your spouse? That is definitely not a rational way to live. Do you love your children, even when they scream at you, even when they give you so much sass, you'd think everything around them should just melt into a puddle? That is not rational. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yet loving those around us brings the most fulfilling relationships. It brings meaning to our lives and fills our souls. It is something of which science has only barely scratched the surface. The same is true with God. We barely understand God, but we know God fills our souls. We don't see Jesus in the flesh today, so it becomes easy to deny the resurrection. We are so quick to say, I'll believe it when I see it. But this miracle points to perhaps the most important reality in the spiritual world. Death is not the end of the story. Death is not final for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And denying the resurrection means you're missing out. If you trust God, you begin to see the world in all kinds of situations. When a child is born, when a baby is baptized, when you get a job you've been working so hard for, when you get an A in school, when you hike a beautiful trail, when a flower blossoms, when a hungry person gets a meal. But Christ is not just there in the good moments. God is there when we are sick in the hospital, when a loved one is diagnosed with a terminal illness, when a friend betrays us, when a child cries, when a family member dies. Christ is there. Christ walks with us and transforms pain and suffering and illness into a source of life. That is what the resurrection means. It means you don't have to see a miracle to believe God can do one. Resurrection means our hardship is transformed into a blessing, both for us and for the world. It all begins when we are able to see the Lord. Just a few months ago, a man in New Zealand who was suffering from Alzheimer's forgot something really important. He forgot that he was married. But this man, Michael, was so in love with Linda, who was already his wife, that he proposed to her. Linda said, when someone is suffering like that, you don't correct them. She simply said, yes, let's get married. He was eager, and he actually didn't forget her answer. So a few days later, he kept asking her, and finally she decided to gather friends and family at a scenic spot near their home. And Linda said that the sickness has left a lot of sadness and frustration in her life. But their second wedding was a day of pure joy. It is a transformation from sick and sad to full of joy. Do you see Christ in that? The Lord is all around waiting to surprise us like Mary at the tomb. We won't find misery there. Instead, it is pure joy as we see the Lord resurrected in our hearts and in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.